Okay.
Neil, can you hear?
Well, I can hear well. You?
Yeah, just my friend Neil.
Yes, I can. I'm just muting my microphone. Sorry.
Okay, great, sir. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Good. So the next piece is Hey Tzohor Shabbos Hashem Yisparach. Afshu Bevadei Ra. Meshekosav Kiyetzalei Vodum Ra Min Urov. Im Kolzev Riosi Vedachlisi Olitoiv. So Yitzhar, even though Yitzhar itself is bad, but it has something worth. There's a reason why it's worthwhile. Ubi Gemara, Omer Rambam Rav Acha Amiber Rav Dala Kadosh Baruch Hu Mischartei Shabram. It says there are four that Kadosh Baruch Hu is mischari. Kastim Yitzhar Yishmol VeGolus. Umati Yishlishol In Kein Lama Baruch Machshem Mischartei Shabram. It's kind of strange. You know, when we do something and then we have harata, we're usually stuck in some matzah. What does it mean by Kadosh Baruch Hu is mischare? Upira said, Ki elu dvarim ein bri'usa mitzar atzmam. Ki mitzar atzmam ein roilam abriya. These are things that they don't have an essential reason for existing. It's not all about them. So to explain each one, the kastim and yitzhar and other, he places it in other places. But the yitzhar is going to explain. Rak dava ze yedua ki yitzhara ki yitzhara shura in roi le habriya vole brios rak bishvul ze. He himself, since his essence is ra, there's no reason to have him around. He does help a person. So the Gemara asks, "What do you mean Yitzhahara is tov mod? Like that's even better." So he says, Ella, Sheluli Yitzhahara lebona adam bayis leholi bonim le nasa venasim. So there's a famous chazal where they tried to battle the Yitzra of Arias and everything sort of wound down. I want to add just a side point to this chazal. I think it's very important. When we deal with Ashkafas HaTorah, and you know, everybody who has a political agenda feels very inclined to use the Torah for Ashkafas HaTorah for their particular agenda. One of the things that people felt very sympathetic to was the idea of communism. Communism speaks about everything being done for the good of all humanity and b'chulu, 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 b'chulu. And of course it rings well with Torah, Chesed, and Tzedakah, and Rachmim, and what have you not. But no, the Hashkafas HaTorah is that in this world, the only thing that will prompt people to do what's needed for Kima Olam is an Olam Hasidic incentive. And if you don't have Yetzirah, people will not build houses, people will not get married, people will not engage in commerce. And it's a necessity for this world to have incentives that are this worldly. It's a reason why communism failed in the end, because nobody is going to kill himself for the public good. Yes, there's a yachid here, there's a yachid there, there's everybody a little bit, but economy has to run on the motivation of profit. You know, that's what keeps economy going. It's true that a woman is for her Yerushalayim and for Midas Tov is everything wonderful. She must be attractive also. Chazal made many takanas that women should be attractive, and I guess there's a seminary I've heard that you have to sign that you're never going to use makeup and so on when you go in. Besides being marital people for sheker, there's also it's against the Gemara. It says Ezra made a takana. Ezra Sofa, who brought back Chazal, made a takana that there shall be peddlers peddling makeup. So it is something that is important. Now, that doesn't mean it's free reign. it just like greed doesn't have free reign, but that the antidote to excesses and bad is being oikah something that Chazal said are important. A kala is allowed to wash 30 days. You know, she has a chiv to, you know, on Tisha B'Av she washes up because she has to look attractive. These halachas. This world has to run with this worldly dynamics, and if you don't do it that way, it's clear there's a certain Chazal are not only telling us the Torah is not only telling us good things. There's also a sense of the mechanism of the world. There was a story in Lakewood. I know, going back 50 years ago. But it was in the 80s, and there was a fellow, a good person, a younger man who got into real estate development, and was churning out profits in the, you know, the crazy digits, and people invested all of their nadin and whatever they got. They invested it. The returns were very handsome, and kedera kololom, it collapsed, and it wasn't. It was an intentional Ponzi scheme. It was you know, everything has a limit. You can't keep churning out profits that are way beyond everything else. And real estate has a limit. There's just so many, you know. And at some point, it all collapsed, and many people lost all their nadin, all their money. And this poor person ran away, and it was terrible. It destroyed his family and destroyed many other families. Somehow, these things never. We don't learn the lessons. But Reb Moshe Feinstein uncharacteristically was extremely critical of the people who had invested the money. And he said the following. He said, they came to him and said that Yungel Light had invested their entire nadin into it. He said, a person who is tempted, a person who does an avera is even rabbanan, But when Chazal give us advice, it says in the Gemara, Le'olam yeshalish adam mamonai. Shlish be karka, shlish be metaltash be moment. A person should have his assets diversified. And, you know, some of it in karka, some of it in metaltash, some of it as cash. So Chazal told us an appropriate way of behaving. So when you disregard a Chazal like that, you basically feel that they don't know what they're talking about. And it was very, very upset, uncharacteristic, because he was a very mild-mannered person, and usually very positive. But here also, Yetzirah in this world is important. It's important that it takes. It's a judgment call on a manhige at Sibur. There's an important. It's important to weigh and to measure. Is this? Are we tilting very heavily in the direction of overindulgence, or is the machinery that's running the world running overtime? So we need to check it a bit. It's like the Federal Reserve. You don't abolish investing. You adjust it depending on if you feel the market is overinvested or underinvested. So here it says, Yetzirah is Tov Ma'od. Now, why is it Tov Ma'od? I once heard Moshe Shapiro told, he explained, very, very, Emerson Hesbin, he asked in a cynical way that, what does the word Tov Ma'od mean when you're talking about, when you're talking about Ruchnisika things, or in Torahika things? He said, Mela, you know, we judge things that are here in this world, so we grade things. We don't have a way of saying this is absolutely good or not good. So we go on the numbers from 1 to 10, good, better, best, or whatever. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolute. If he says it's Tov, not Tov, it's not Tov. So what's Tov Ma'od? There's Tov Ma'od. So Moshe said, the word Ma'od means potential. In other words, like b'chol ma'odcha means with all your assets, with all your potential. So you said, that the inyonim of Ra allow in the Bria a vast potential of accomplishment. It's dafkin in the areas that are gray, black, whatever it is, that we have potential. Hare, ki tzahara mitzad mashu tov al yodin es isha moilat banim. So the Yitzhahara allows for this world to run well. Ulekach, kash adayin le nivra, noisen habriya shia nivra, ki nivra le tov ayla. So it needs to be created so that the world run. Al mitzar atzmoy, as a goal and as an end itself, bevade hu ra, ki Yitzhahara ba'atzmoy ra. Ulekach, acha briyosa Yitzhahara nimtza bifnei atzmoy. V'loy kimoy shu koydem shnivro mitzat seir abriya, she'etz Hashem yisbarach, bevade roele b'shul ha'adam. So his, the Yitzhahara, before there's a creation, then we say we need a system to urge people to get married, build houses, engage in commerce, etc. But if that's created, the Yitzhahara himself is as a being, Yitzhahara is mischarit. So it's we need the Yitzhahara's hechetimtza. So as long as our question is, do we need a stimulus? The answer is yes. Once the stimulus comes into being, we say, but this particular stimulus, as he is, as he claims to be important, it is not. Let's talk a little bit about something that's no gear.
So, Rav Levi, yes. There's a question on that. It's a bit of a sneer with that, no?
Why?
Because if the end of the day you need it, I don't know how you can split the atom like that, right? You need it because you need to give people this world the incentives to do what they have to do in the world, yeah?
Right. Imagine that a person is getting older and he's having problems walking. He's having problems walking, he's having problems with his balance and so on. And he almost slips one time, he almost trips one time, he wobbles, and he says, "I need a cane," and he will make, an effort. He'll spend money and buy a cane. But once he has a cane, he's walked with the cane, and he says, "I wish I didn't have this," meaning in effect that I wish I could be without it. In other words, the cane itself is never an object of adoration or good. It's a necessity. So just like necessities are needed, but they're not wanted. Anything that you spend money on that you call a necessity, you're basically saying it's not desirable, but it's necessity. So it's in the Bria itself, because we looked around and says, yes, this is a functioning Bria. Now when he looks at the pieces of the Bria, he looks at the things that are, let's give an example. A boy wears braces, a boy wears braces. You say to yourself, he obviously pay a lot of money for the wear of braces, but you say, I wish, I'm waiting for the day to get rid of those braces. Those braces are not you, they're necessary means to bring out the better in you. So what it means is, the purpose that Yitzhahara serves in the Bria is extremely important, and as such it is good. But looking at the thing itself as being something that exists, it is waiting for the day that you no longer need it. The Yitzhahara will stick around with us until the day we no longer need it, so we're okay with that. Let's talk a little bit about something, I guess, that's a little bit in Yana Diyema. It is like Boma today, and it's a special day, and it's an important day. Let's go to the famous story in Shabbos, where it says how Reb Shimon Bar Yochai got into the pickle to start with. It says that they were sitting around. Three Tanoim were sitting around, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yossi, and Reb Shimon. And Reb Yehuda got up and he said, this is what a wonderful nation Rome is. They have, they make these wonderful marketplaces and these bridges and bathhouses. Great nation. Rabbi Yossi kept quiet. Rabbi Shimon answered, and he said, Kol Masha Tikno Le Tikno Tzer Hatzman. Everything they did for themselves. Tikno Shvakin Le Shimon Zaynis. Mechatzos La Adim Ben Hatzman. Shon Nitlam Mechas. He said, yeah, they made everything for their own benefit. So Yehuda Megir went, and he snitched on him, and the Romans got back and said Yehuda is going to get a medal for it, and Yossi is going to go to Golis, and Shimon Yochai is going to get killed. That's the story. That's how he got into it. Let's try to understand a little bit the vikuach here, the machlokas, and so on. There was no argument on fact over here. Everybody understood that Shimon was not arguing about whether they built bridges and bathhouses and stuff like that. They did. I mean, we know they didn't, and that's he's agreeing. There's no argument with that. Neither is Reb Yehuda arguing on the issue of whether or not what kavanas they had in mind. Reb Yehuda said, "Kamanoy maaseh in Shlomazu." They do great things. And Reb Shimon said, "Kol mashe tiknu lo tiknu ela tzarich atzman." So let's understand the machloikas, the Indian here. The vikuach was two perspectives on how to be done certain things. Reb Yehuda held that ein ledayin el mashen avros. In this world, we as humans in this world can only judge things by their appearance, and therefore, since the maseim are good maseim, since what comes out of it is highly useful and important, then that's good, and therefore we need to appropriately be mishabechet. We need to term this as good. Since the maseihem are good, that's good. Reb Shimon ben Yochai really is coming from a very different perspective. Reb Shimon ben Yochai is shayich to the pnimius of Torah, which really is telling us two things. It's telling us what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want out of our maisim. The Shulchan Aruch tells us what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from us. The Zohar and Kabbalah tells us what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from those Maisim. The Shulchan Aruch is an instruction booklet for what we're supposed to do, and it mandates following it. The Zohar tells us why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to do it. And the Lashonis use what tikkun happens means what does this accomplish? Now, in terms of what we do, a ma'isa mitzvah is determined by exactly what we do, and that's it. If I did it perfectly well, that's fine. How far do these ma'isim affect lamala? What does it accomplish? Really, really depends on my kavana and the depth of it. Let's give a simple example. It is customary that when you're a guest, you bring a present. It is customary that you bring a present to your wife on a birthday or anniversary or whatever, each kefim and hobby. If you do what you're supposed to do, you did what you're supposed to do. But there's an expression on the person. In what he says and how he says it and the look on his face and everything, that gives me a sense of what kavana went into it, what content. And the effect it has really is measured by that level of input, of panemistic input. So we have really two separate areas. And we have the world of Maisa, and that's the Chutz, the Chitzenis, that's the Bria. And we have the world of Kavana, Machshava, which is the Pnimius of something. Now, everyone points out, you tell me Reb Shimon is so holy and so great and so big. In the Mishnah, we pass like Reb Yehuda, not like Reb Shimon usually. We don't pass like Reb Shimon. So why is it that the Zohar is considered so great and fantastic, wonderful? The answer is, in our setting and in this world, Reb Shimon Yochai is not the dominant Chelek HaTorah. That time has not come yet. That's why Reb Shimon went out in the Marah and he looked around and he saw people doing all sorts of mundane activities and he got very, very annoyed. Because Reb Shimon was living in a different Metzias. He was living in a Metzias where this world no longer exists, and it was a stira. He needed to go back and readjust so that he could fit into this world. Reb Shimon Yochai's Torah and his person really belong to the place of where the Kavana is the major player. I want to add a piece to this. Whenever I look at the it says this world is a Proizder and next world is a Traklin. This world is a Chana, the next world. The world of Maisa is my ability to do something depends on how well I'm doing it. The purpose of why I'm doing it tells me at what point will I stop. What's my goal? My goal is the machshav behind it. So for instance, if I'm putting up a little teepee for an overnight stay in a forest, I put up ropes and sheets, tighten them, make this, and as soon as I've reached what's needed to stay up one night, I'm finished. And at that point I stop. And that's why I realize, if I see somebody coming to a construction site, I have no idea what he wants to do. When his finishing point is what he wants to do. If he sits there a few months and builds thick walls and strong roof and this and that and so on, the seif pasuk, the achris hayamim, the final goal of it is the revelation of what did you have in mind. So we're now in a period of time where we're doing, and our chiv is to do mitzvahs and not care about anything else. But once the world moves into the next phase, once the moment the world moves, means the world has reached a certain shlemus, and that perfection was the goal all along. That was the kavanah of the mitzvahs. That was the toichen of the mitzvahs. So really, Reb Shimon Yochai is the it's the Torah that belongs to tomorrow. It's the Torah that belongs to the Tachlis of the Bria, not to the Hechetimtz of the Bria. And that's why when we have, we're entitled and we're allowed to use Kabbalah, the Zohar, to enhance our Maisim. In other words, by understanding, the more I understand the effect my Maisim have, and the more I'm mechavin my rutzen and my das to attain that goal, the maisa is much, much better. So just like when I do something, I understand what I'm trying to do and how important it is and how significant, the maisa takes on a lot of meaning. Let's take a mashal. Imagine I'm running a surgery team in a hospital, desperate trying to save somebody's life. I, as the chief surgeon, understand extremely well what I'm doing. I'm saving a life because, you know, if the person loses one more pint of blood from the bleeding, he's gone. And I'm desperately trying to find the place and so on and so forth. Next to me is an orderly who doesn't begin to understand what's happening, but he follows commands like a lock. Excellent. 1, 2, 3, does it. And I tell him, take this, bring this, hold this, move this, this and that. And the person does it perfectly well. He's assisting me, but he's clueless about the significance of what's happening. So yes, on the level of Maisa, he might have saved a life, but Tachlis, the person was, I can't say he was engaged in Atzolos Nefashos. He wasn't a lifesaver. He was a person, as far as he was concerned, he could have been in a butcher store chopping up meat for sale. He was doing things, whatever I point to, he moves, he pulls, he pushes, he cuts, zehu. So I can't call that person as a lifesaver. Me, who I understand exactly the situation, and I'm doing it, and with all the full sense of achrayus, that's one dimension. As the person that's just doing physical job. They tell over the Rav Shitzer used to watch us see them dance, and some of them he would say he's like stepping up in the air, he's like dancing with Malachim. On a second person, he would look at his feet and say he's being over about Tashkus on a good pair of shoes. He's just wearing out the rub on the shoes. There's no pnimius to his dancing. The pnimius of something is directly tied to its tachlis. So this person has put saving a life as his tachlis, and everything he's doing is focused on that one. This guy has put it as his tachlis, earning $15 an hour for manual labor, and that's what he's doing. He's doing another manual labor. Whatever the boss tells him to do, he does. Doesn't know difference. So Reb Shimon Yochai's Torah is shayach be'etzem to lasid lavoy. It's shayach to the world when it will have realized its tachlis, as opposed to where it's still engaged in realizing its tachlis. They develop and make Zelda Shitasoi with Shabbos that Reb Shimon Patis Eina Miskavin, Reb Yehuda Machayev, Reb Shimon is Matin, he's Machayev, and he holds his Patav Lasa, Melach Shein Tzichel Legufa, same Machlekes, except he holds its Tzchayev Dereis, he holds its Patav Dereis, it's also Rabbanan. In other words, the significance of machshava and determining a maisa, and specifically in Shabbos, you find this inyan of in Shabbos you find this inyan specifically of machshava, mleches machshava sasa Torah, because Shabbos is shayach to lasid lavay. Shabbos is a lasid lavadik together. You know, it's Yom Shekula Shabbos Nuchay Elamim. So the same type of inyanim on the Geata Shabbos. It's not just a Maisa. It's also the machshava behind the Maisa. It's what the person intends. So anything that touches on Achris HaYomdik inyanim, on Seif Pasik inyanim, the machshava becomes important. Those in Yonim that are just the here and the now. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Sorry, we just lost you a minute there.
Yeah. What? Oh, just one second, what?
I don't know which fuse it is, and I want to turn off
the
computer.
The fuse? You want to turn off the computer?
No, I don't want to. That's why I need to know which fuse it is. I'm afraid.
Okay. You know what? I can... Give me another 10 minutes. Can you give me another 10 minutes?
Okay.
Hello? 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 Having some issues. Yeah, we're back on.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. So where do we get cut off?
Basically, is Reb Shimon's Torah Shaya.
Right. And just like Shabbos, the halachas are toluy melachas machshavas, because they speak about tachlis. Anything that's shayach to tachlis is something which is a it belongs to Achas Hayomim. It's shayach to something beyond. Whenever I do something, I define by present one inyan. What's this person doing? He's banging nails into wood. In a week from now, when I reach the finishing line, then I can say he's built a house. That's the hello? Hello?
Hi, Rabbi Lupiansky.
Yeah, we seem to have some issues.
We're technical difficulties.
Okay. I guess it's a horror that Koach Hayetz is really working hard to stop it. So at any rate, anything that's shayach to Achris Hayomim, to Tachlis, is shayach to Kavana. It's one of the reasons why it says the Shammai and Hillel. Shammai used to put aside a behemoth and say this will be for Shabbos. And, every day, Nimtza, that every day is Mechen for Shabbos. In other words, Shabbos requires, as opposed to, for instance, tefillin, it's very, very nice to put away money for your son so that when he gets bar mitzvah, he's going to have a pair of tefillin. But that's not part of tefillin. It's just wise that if you want to have tefillin and a good pair of tefillin, so you have the money available. In Shabbos, you want every day to be Mechen for Shabbos, because that puts Shabbos into the big picture. Hillel, by the way, didn't disagree with him. Hillel, it says Mida Cheres Hoisaboy. The Pshad is he felt, because he lived a life of Bitachon, he felt that every minute is preparing for Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now preparing my animal for Shabbos. He may not deliver it until Shabbos morning, until Friday night, but it's being prepared. So, in any type of inyan which leads to that, that's where. So, Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon are two perspectives on Torah. One is the Panemius perspective. One is the bottom line perspective. There's also a very interesting machlokas. It's in this is in Bar Mitzia. Actually, at the very, very end of Bar Mitzia, you have a machloikis about something growing at between two yards, one on top of the other, and then you have stuff growing there. And the question is, who does it belong to? In other words, you have 2 yards, not at level field, and you have something growing in the wall between the two. Who does it belong to? So you have a machlokes, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Shimon says that kol shelin yochel lifshet, if the guy on top can stick out a hand and take it, then he's the, that's his, if not the guy on the bottom. So the other two mandyavim have a machlokas whether this guy can fill in his karka, this guy can take down, and you know, this one can be lika chasafra, this can be malos eskinosai. Reb Meir says roy mechan yarek zechai. Reb Meir says, well, so we have no achro over here, so we just see where it's growing from. Reb Shimon says no. Kol shalin yochel lifshes yadav l'tol areyo shaloi v'ashal shal tachtei. You look and see which one the balabayas will take out. If you think about it, it's a remarkable difference. Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda are all arguing in terms of the plant, the plant that's growing, whose is it? And we look at the plant. Where's the plant located? Where's it situated? So on. Reb Shimon says, a plant, a vegetable is made to be taken, to be used. Where can it? Who's the one that has access to use it? In other words, he takes out bichlau, he takes the plant by its tachlis, rather than by its metzias. That's where Reb Shimon differs greatly. So the Torah of Reb Shimon is the Torah of tachlis. And Shabbos is called tachlis ma'aseh v'aretz. It's a whole different perspective on, and that's why the whole signaling of Torah's Kabbalah is what tikkunim are you making when you're doing this, what tikkunim. It's looking at things through the tachlis. Let's just finish up the last few lines here as we finish. L'kach ha'mesech t'smochas yeitze tinek v'isha smol doich v'imin mekareves kimo doich yitzor legamri v'vatel seir olam. To push yitzor over completely v'vatel seir olam. She'ashem yisbarach boro oisoi she'kach roi l'seir olam. V'yoyisim ezek ade tzahor yik na'odim ha'mailo yoynek ma'ashe yisbor le'mailo tzavachor yisrol she'asim na'reach na'echad shbarach. So, person should not be doich things. You can't be doich yitzor totally. He's an important part of the marketplace, so to speak, of the human marketplace, and the question is just to do it right. I think it's one of those things. Also, it's always obviously it's always obviously a lot of weighing and so on. For instance, sometimes they make these draconic takanis that no one can make a fancy wedding, no one can do something like that. It's a problem. A person who is by nature an ambitious person tends to want to have these things. Some yes, some not, but it's not unusual. There were takanas I've seen in old Sfarim where, depending on your occupation, you know, it's a person who's a great landowner, this and this, could do this. A person whose income is from here can. In other words, it was weighing between allowing a person to make use of his money, which is an important need for some people, and on the other hand, not endangering, I don't know what the right word is, other people who don't have that ability that they should end up in tzaras because they're keeping up with the Joneses. It's to separate the Joneses from the Goldsteins, from the Goldbergs. Each one in his own category is allowed to do what he should do, but they obviously understood that it's not appropriate just to kind of make a, or to ban any incentive other than Torah mitzvahs. The world doesn't go on like that. Okay, any questions, any points?
Just one question on Rabbi Shimon.
Yeah.
It's a connector, I don't know if it's going to be too long an answer, but Yachol ani lifdor es kol ha'olam min ha'din ba'ani v'bni iti from the beginning of time.
Right.
Is this connected at all to this, or it's a different thing?
I don't think so. I don't. I'm not aware of a direct connection. I don't have an offhand direct connection.
Okay.
But the whole musig, it's very interesting. Understanding that Reb Shimon might be bigger in one way, but less visible. There's a fascinating Yerushalmi Sanhedrin, beginning of Sanhedrin. It says that every generation the Rebbeim used to make talmidim. So Reb Akiva appointed Reb Meir and Reb Shimon as his talmidim. And he said, Reb Meir is Talmud 1, and Reb Shimon is Talmud number 2. So it says, Niskar kimu panav Reb Shimon. So Reb Shimon's features, he was got very, very upset. It hurt him. So Akiva told him, Dayach, Reb Shimon, She'ani v'boruch makirinos, as good loscha. Suffice it that I and HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognize your greatness. You know, we two know, both of us, me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both of us know that you're the greatest. That's incredible. In other words, so why did he, it wasn't as if there was an election and everybody voted him, you know, number two, and he said, well, we really know you're number one. He's the one who made him number two. The answer is, in this world, that Mahalach at the present is not the dominant Mahalach, but I, as your Rebbe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the Shoresh and the Pnimiyus Rebbe, we recognize the emes. The pnimistic emes is that you're greater. Okay. A good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, thanks.
And I guess
thanks
for you, like Lagboma's over already, but for me, we're still a little bit like Lagboma mood. Okay.
Okay, so
call to bye.